listening to the CCA Podcast.
Today is going to be a little bit different in terms of the sermon aspect, because we're going to be hearing from a few different people, and the reason we're doing that is to help us to focus in on what the gospel is really all about. It's actually going to be a kind of a 10-week process, because we'll have 8 weeks of studying the primer itself, but what we're going to do is we're going to be studying that a week in advance. So next week, the small groups will begin, not during this week, but during the following week, and we're hoping that everybody will take a gospel primer and that you'll take the time to walk through it in a 7-day process, that you'll talk about it with one another in your small groups. And then we'll come back together and hear a reflection on what we've been reading. I've done this in the past as in different contexts, ministry contexts that I've been in, and I've found it to be super effective if the whole congregation is reading and studying something ahead of time. Then it's like we come together in the service and everybody's like, yeah, okay, man, this is what I've learned, this is what you've learned, and then we look at it together and we learn together, and I'm really excited about it. So starting next week, I'll be giving an introduction, to the gospel primer, and then the following week, the 23rd, Sunday the 23rd, we'll reflect on chapter 1. And actually, Pastor Matthew is going to be sharing the message on that Sunday. So that'll be cool. And then we'll just kind of walk through then 8 weeks in a row. And that'll take us up basically right up to Thanksgiving time. The gospel, I think probably just about everybody here knows what does gospel mean? Blah, 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 blah. No one's saying very loudly or... Good news, yeah. Good news. It's the Greek word is euangelion. And I don't know if you hear a word that's familiar to us in euangelion. What do you hear? Catch it at all? Angel, euangelion. The word angel is in euangelion. Because what does angel mean? Anybody remember? Messenger. Carla, 2 points. You're just really, you're going here. Yeah. So it means messenger. And the prefix you is good. So this is a message, a good message. If you recall, what did the angel come and say to the shepherds on the day that Christ was born? He said, behold, I bring you glad tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For behold, in the city of David is born to you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you'll find the body, find the baby. You won't find the body. Find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This, I bring you good news. This is great news. It's the message. And I think what happens to us sometimes, because a lot of us, we've been walking with Jesus for a long time, and sometimes the goodness of the news gets lost on us. It just doesn't resonate with quite the same joy and richness that it once did. And what we need is a continual renewal. It's really a lot like marriage, you know? I mean, when you first got married, first got engaged, you were just all over it in terms of, I can't wait to tell you, I'm engaged. engaged. You know, I've told you this before, but you know, on the night that Karen and I got engaged, I took her home, and she lived up on Queen Anne and right on Bigelow. And I don't know if you know Bigelow Avenue there, but it's a really, you know, beautiful kind of a setting, all tree-lined. And it was like the beginning of November. I think it was November 8th. And so all the trees, you know, were dropping their leaves. And so I had just, you know, I had just asked Karen to marry me, and she just said yes. And I was driving home, you know, about midnight or so. And I just got out of the car and went running through the leaves. And I'm kicking them, saying, "I'm engaged," you know, to nobody, you know. But it was good news. I had to out with it. You know, I was thinking this week about how varied good news is. You know, Pastor Charles, I was talking to him last week, and he was saying, it's just so great that Ruth, after all these months of being, you know, really laid up and not able to get around, that now she's walking around without a walker, you know, and it's like, good news. I was visiting, and I might even tear up, which, you know, that's very unusual for me. But I was visiting Eva Wangen this week, and Marianne was there. And Eva is in the last stages. I haven't heard anything, so I'm assuming that she's still alive, but she won't be long. She's in the final stages of her life. And she was, you know, desperately trying to kind of wake up as I was there, as I was talking with her and just telling her how much we love her and how much we respect her. But, you know, she's on a lot of morphine, and it's just, you know how it is when someone's trying really hard, and then it didn't take very long and she was, you know, out again. But she, on that day, she woke up to sing Marianne happy birthday, because it was Marianne's birthday that day. And that's good news. You know, those are the kind of things where it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You didn't have to give me that present. You didn't have to give me that gift. But what an amazing thing. You gave my mom enough strength to sing happy birthday to me. You know, and it's very likely the last song she'll ever sing this side of eternity. Good news. I asked Matthew Thorpe this morning if I could tell his little story. I heard a little good news story about him from his mom, Hallie. Matthew went to school first time in middle school. And so and he doesn't have any of the kids that came out of his elementary class. None of them are in any of his classes. So he's going to all his classes, and he doesn't know anybody. And he's also in a lunch hour where none of his friends are in his lunch hour. He's the only one. So he went to lunch the first day, and he's just sitting there just kind of looking around and not. And it, you know, how many of you remember that feeling? You remember how overwhelming junior high was? I mean, I remember just the terror of, you know, so many aspects of it, you know, just all the different kids and everything. But after that lunch, and he was feeling kind of bad, and he went out to the sport court, and there were some kids, and they were playing basketball, and there was this one kid on the side who was just kind of, you know, he didn't have anybody to connect with either. And so Matthew comes up, and he starts a conversation with him, and there's a connection. Just that little human connection, you know, it's like, good news! We delight to tell, one more, you know, I'm boring you with these stories here, but one more. I still remember Karen and me, when she got pregnant with Kevin, you know, first baby, and that feeling of wanting to share it. Well, Carolyn Rose, her daughter, had, it's not your first grandbaby, but yeah, number 10, number 9, oh my goodness. But Ro had her little baby two weeks ago, I guess, yeah, one week ago. Anyway, so Carolyn's putting it on the internet and, you know, and stuff, and it's like, good news. We delight to share good news. The problem is that our circles of good news, of sharing it, are sometimes way too narrow. You see, Jesus, his great commission, what was his great commission? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He starts it out and he says, you can look in your Bibles if you want. I mean, yeah, do that. A lot of you know it by heart, but Matthew 28, 19 to 20, Jesus, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He starts out with that. You see, there was a reason that we were singing about the kingship of our Lord this morning in worship, because we're focusing on this reality that he is Lord of all. He's Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He's Lord of all that is. And so Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been granted to me, or been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples where? Of all nations. He's saying, increase your scope. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. The task of the church from the very beginning has always been to tell the good news in an expanded context. Go and make disciples of all nations. And for us, at least in our everyday life, that means that there's a responsibility in four different spheres: where we live, where we work, where we learn, and where we see. I'm doing it German style. See, the one is here, but I'll do it American style. So where we work, where we live, where we learn, and where we play. Every sphere of our life, where we live, our neighbors, those around us, that's the natural setting in which God has placed us to share the good news. Where we work, that context of our colleagues, people that we see every day, where we learn. If we're in school, if we're a student, then that's the main area where we spend time. But there's a learning context for every one of us. And then where we play, where we relax, where, you know, whether it's the gym or whether it's, this last week, Dick Brown came back and he was sharing with the men, and he was talking about how he goes out on the Burke Gilman just about every day and rides his recumbent bicycle, and everybody is like, you know, all kind of enamored with his amazing recumbent electric bicycle, and they come up and, wow, what a cool bike. And it gives him the opportunity to share where we play, where we live, where we work, where we learn, and where we play. In every one of those spheres, God calls us to be good news carriers. And I think our problem a lot of times is we kind of get closed in. And so I want to talk with a couple of people about expanding the boundaries. And I want to start out with Jacob Barrett. So Jacob, would you come on up? This Tuesday on 9/11, we are going to start something brand new. We're starting a community dinner, which is an opportunity to reach out to people in our community. And we're starting it downstairs in our nest room. And it's a, tell us about it, Jacob. Tell us kind of what it's going to look like, okay?
Well, Dinner Church, it's based off of the first century model of the Christian church. And so historically what they had, it was a community of believers, and they'd all come together and have what they called an agape feast. And so that essentially just was a dinner where they'd fellowship, and they would just talk about the gospel of Christ. It's very simple. And so the way we do it is we just have a dinner. Midway through the dinner, we will have our pastor, who will be Sean. He'll come up and he'll give a Jesus story. We continue on. But slowly through this process, as we build relationships, non-believers who might attend, they'll encounter the Holy Spirit through the believers. And slowly they will begin to see the love of Christ and the fellowship from Christ. And then slowly they'll come to Christ. And so it's quite simple.
Tell me, here, let's give you your own mic. It's kind of dangerous, but yeah. So what led you to be involved? What attracted you? Why are you saying, yeah, I'm going to invest in this?
Well, one part of it is actually God. Second part is just ideologically and how it works. Well, the first part is, back in the fall, I was just going into college as searching out my direction, and God had eventually directed me towards ministry and spreading the good news. I was like, oh, okay, God, if you want me to do this, give me a church to get involved in. And then so Sean, he showed up and said, oh, I'm looking to start a church in the community. I was like, whoa, that's the signal. An interesting thing before that is that I had a dream, I think it was the night before, confirming my call to ministry. And I think through that this is really supported by the Holy Spirit, this mission. Not only that, I think the dinner church approaches the gospel in a different way that we oftentimes forget about or ignore. So in the first century, the most common, I suppose, thoughts on us, on salvation were through this idea called Christ is victor. And so that's essentially the idea that Christ's victory is basically how we are saved and sanctified. And so not only did they focus on the, you know, Jesus died for my sins, but also all the works of righteousness that he committed. And that's also imparted us as a part of that victory. So when people, they encounter the love of Christ and this fellowship that they receive in dinner church, they see the love of Christ, and in turn, through that love of Christ, they see Jesus Christ as Lord, and thus they'll accept him. And so, for example, say, you know, wow, if Steve's going, they see, wow, Steve is so loving, this is a great guy. You know, my prejudices are completely changed, or Jacob, or, you know, he's such a great guy. But then as we grow and grow close in our relationships, say, oh, they aren't perfect. Whose love is this? Well, this is the love of Christ. And so that brings them to him.
Yeah.
It's quite simple.
Who are we specifically trying to target for, you know, I mean, it's these people, I mean, we could just say, hey, come on a Sunday morning. Why are we doing something, you know, on a Tuesday night, on a different night, and starting a whole new community, starting a whole new church? Why do that?
Well, it's really all about new wineskins and different demographics. And it really depends on the community where you're setting up, but it's all sorts of people. It could be impoverished people who don't have a meal. It could be maybe more intellectual people who are uncomfortable with, you know, the traditional church as organized religion. We have, like, PhDs sometimes coming in to dinner church. And so the universal characteristic of all these people is that they feel uncomfortable coming to a normal church. And, you know, it's sometimes very hard to approach traditional church because we oftentimes focus a lot on just sanctification or practical theology. But dinner church is very gospel-focused. And Jesus is how we approach the holiness of God. And I think it's much easier to do so. in the context of a dinner church to be able to approach God, just because it's very gospel focused.
One more question. So we're starting on Tuesday night. Can people just come and show up, or what do you think?
Well, it's very easy. You just show up, you sit down, you start building relationships. Here you go. Oftentimes, I think we as believers, we just make things way too complicated. You know, we already all have the ball. We have the Holy Spirit. You are the temple. This is not the temple. Dinner church is not the temple. You are the temple. And take advantage of that. God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. You know, sometimes we think, oh, okay, our missions will only work if we just throw so much money, or we'll have, you know, this new event in our community. In reality, it's really about God and his power in you. He is sovereign, not any system. And so I think dinner church is very conductive for the Holy Spirit to use, because it's all about relationships and the individual's believer and their power contained within them.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Jacob.
Of course.
One of the things I love is how you are growing in your ability to articulate. You're a fantastic spokesperson for this ministry, and also, you know, I just see God just doing more and more in you, preparing you, making you a gospel, you know, a gospeler in a very positive way. So,
well, I mean, in terms of speaking, the first few times I went up here, I was just very nervous, and I noticed the more I just let go of my pride, and it's like, you know what, you don't really matter, Jacob. You're just dust, whatever. And the more articulate you can be, you know, the more freedom you have to fail, the more freedom you actually have to go out and do and succeed, I think. Because, you know, when you die to your virtues and to your failure, then it's just all about Christ, and it's spiritual. Then you more easily you can speak, and then you can have all those famous gospel messages, you know. So,
yeah,
that's the way I think about it.
Fantastic. Thanks, man. Yeah. Okay. Jacob's brother Joseph is leaving for the Marines. Is it next week? Yeah, but this is your last Sunday here. We really want to pray for you, man. You know, that's going to be a tremendous opportunity for you. And it's also going to be a tremendous challenge. But I think it's going to be a growing time. So would you stand, Joseph, and just kind of stretch out a hand in his direction, okay? Lord, we pray for Joe. It has been really cool to watch both Jacob and Joseph, you know, just the way that they have grown. And they have, you know, they are men. They're not boys anymore by any stretch. And now you're calling Joe to go into the Marines and this next step, and we pray that you would not only guard his heart, but you would make him, you know, people go into the Marines to become men, and, you know, he's going to grow in his manhood, but let him grow in his manhood in Christ, too. Let him be a gospeler in that setting, and help him to, you know, to really depend on you even more than he ever has. And we're looking forward to hearing when he comes back on leave, hearing what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. There's a couple of I want to listen to a couple of other people, John Tini and Young. Oh, Win. That's a great. Yeah. Why don't you guys come up? As they're coming up, Calvary, in terms of propagating the good news and making sure that it is going places, has always been involved in planning churches. So, you know, doing community dinners right here is a big deal. For the last year and a half, we've been helping to plant a church down in Columbia City. Let me just show you a few pictures. So Karen and I were there last week, and this they meet in the Rainier Community Center. It's a beautiful building. It's really, really cool. They put up their banners out front each Sunday, and then they have their service inside. And this time they welcomed, Bobby and James Kroon welcomed Karen and me, and also Glenn and Sateri Kokendorfer were there as representatives of our missions team, and presented us with a plaque. We had dinner afterwards, lunch downstairs, great setting. It's a perfect place for a church plant. And so Pastor James and I, he's someone who grew up in Rainier Beach, has gotten his doctorate, is working in teaching. He's just so articulate, and it was so cool to see God strategically place them. You guys, through your regular faithful giving to missions, have helped to make that church plant possible. We gave them the first month's rent. We sent them $500 a month to have, and James isn't even getting any salary. We're just helping get that church going. You see, in order for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be made relevant and to touch every man, woman, and child in the Pacific Northwest, it's going to call for hundreds of churches to start. And we've just got to keep working on it. But so John and Young, you guys have been friends for a long, long time. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that looked like?
Okay, so the first time I met Young was at a church youth camp. I think we were 12 years old, maybe, something like that. And I was there. I had never met him before. And then this guy he demonstrated athletic ability and popularity. And there was a lot of people that were
good looks.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Right. It's all there. Right.
So this guy was really popular. I was like, man, who is this guy? I've never met him. And so through a series of getting together there, I became friends, and we had a common interest of sports, and so we liked baseball and football and all that kind of stuff, and that kind of began our friendship. And then it developed over the years. I would travel down to Tacoma when I was a teenager to play softball, because there was like a church, I don't want to say a softball league, because it wasn't a league, but it was a bunch of guys that got together to play softball. And so we had this connection of baseball, and then it evolved into basketball, and this just developed this friendship of sports and common interests. And then the biggest one, of course, is fishing. I mean, we fishing together.
Yeah.
So I'll let him fill in.
So,
well, my name is Young Nguyen, and I'm glad to be here among believers. And John and I share a very special relationship, and it's really started, of course, through interest in sports, but it really went deep when we really accepted Jesus Christ in our hearts. And there's a friendship that built over the years that God has developed in our journey, that we became youth pastors together, and I think that's where we really grew deeper in our walk with God, because he was the youth pastor in Seattle, and I was the youth pastor in Tacoma. And we were able to really connect it greater in our time together, seeing what God did in our lives and the changes that he has done, and the growth of just what the kingdom of God was like and is. And we just, last year, we even went deeper. And
yeah, tell us about that, Young. So what inspired you? Because if I understand it right, you reached out to John and said, look, let's try to go deeper here. What caused you to initiate that conversation?
Great question. So he was raised in church all his life. I got saved when I was 12, so I'm 50 years old, so I've been saved for a long time. So in the last probably 3 to 4 years, discipleship really hit our church. And So I just want to let you know, just remember this phrase. Don't think you know something. Don't think you know something. If you can understand that, that will help you in discipleship. Because the deal is, God is so big and so great and so glorious, okay, and so gracious, and you will see that in the primer. And that right there has helped me understand, don't think you know some stuff. Okay? And so in my journey, the Lord has really, through our church, embraced discipleship in a great way through our pastor. And we had discipleship group. And so it really changed really my life. If you don't know me, okay, but you will know who I'm connected to because it's the same person you all connected to. Okay? And so with that, he exploded my life in the last 4 years greater than I ever have been before. And because you don't know me, I'm a very energetic guy. Okay? I am the kind of guy that you want to be on your team. Okay? But that deal is, even with that, God came and showed me just an amazing journey of what discipleship is about. And so what I did was I called my best friend, because he's my best friend, is somebody I really love and care for. And so what I did, I said, I need you to do something. And this is how it went. I'm not going to tell you all about what discipleship is, because I know John, and I know us as human. We think we know. Okay? He doesn't know that. So I said, I won't tell you what this journey is about. But all I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to ask the Lord if this is what we're supposed to do together. Because I knew. I knew that if I share it with him, he's going to go like this. Well, I'm an elder in my church or a deacon in my church. You know, I'm involved here. 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 And after all that involvement, he's going to give me his answer. Because the thing is that we, as Christian, do, but can do so much more, is that we need to go to God first. And so what I did was I asked him to go to God first rather than going through his process of his schedule and his daily routine. And so he said yes. And that began January. December, but we really launched it January 1st. So I don't know how much you want me to go.
Yeah, well, John, why don't you share a little bit? So you guys started meeting, actually talking with each other daily, right?
Three times a week.
Okay. Yeah. And you were sharing about it a little bit last spring, just about how God began to open up doors and avenues of understanding and listening to his voice in a way like you'd never experienced before in all your years of being a believer. Yeah. Tell us about that.
So I got to be careful here because it becomes emotional.
Pull it up tighter. Thank you.
I got to be careful here because it for me, it tends to get really emotional because God means so much to me. So as a middle-aged guy, and I've begun to really look at life and what is life about, and what's the meaning of it and the purpose of it, and my life has been centered around business, and so this thought, this process of thinking of there's more in life than I really. There's just a lot more there, and I know it's there, but I don't really know what it's about. And God began to stir this in my heart. And so I would say it even started, you know, we talked about discipleship in November, December, that time, and really kicked it off in January. But the process for me was starting several years before then. And this whole thought process of there's more to life than than I'm currently engaged in. And like Young touched on, you know, I was raised in the church. I mean, I'm curious to know here, this is really impromptu, how many people here, just by a raise of hands, were raised in church, or have been in church, let's say, more than 10 years? Really high. Let's see how many hands there are. Yeah. And so you know all about church and the familiarity of religion. And so for me, this stirring in my heart, God is saying there's more to this than what you've been encountering. And so God stirring in my heart, I began to think more about this. What is the gospel really about? And then my friend here hit me up with this question. You know, do you want to go on this journey? Pray about it. Go to the Father and actually talk to him. Because he does know me. I'm a thinker, and I will process things in line. But if I skip that and I go bypass it and just go directly to God, I don't have any excuses I can make, because if I'm being honest to myself, I'm gonna respond to what God says to me. So he asked me this question. Ask the Father if you're to go on this journey. And so God said yes, and I said, okay. Where do you want me to go from here? You know, what does it look like? You know, it's very humbling, because, you know, we're the same age, and, you know, young pose these questions to me. It's like, I'm not going to get, like, the nitty-gritty, in the sense of you don't have to tell me the details, but you have to be honest about your conversation, about where, what God is saying to you, and then what are you going to do about it. And so that question was always prompted to me. You know, what is God saying to you about this? Now, how are you going to respond to that, what he's talking to you about? Mm-hmm. And so with the gospel primer, I think it started in the early spring, something like that. So this is how God works. I mean, he just starts to line things up. And that's how God works, because he knows your heart, and he knows what you need. And for me, it was like I needed this person to come alongside me and to not just coach me, but also to talk about things of life and help hold me accountable. And it's not just even holding me accountable, but it's more about, you know, what is God saying to you? Let's look at this from God's angle. Let's look at it from your angle and dissect what is God saying to me. And so when the gospel primer came into play, it really hit me, because just like many of you were raised in the church and you were taught many things from church. I'm not saying church is bad in the least. I think church is great. But what I'm saying is this is sometimes we get so ingrained in our patterns that we really start to miss what the whole purpose of meeting in church is about. Hmm. What is the purpose of the entire gospel? What's the whole reason why Jesus came and died? Hmm. The impact, the greatness, the power, the glory of God, and what he did on the cross is so much more than I really realized. And so going through the primer, week by week, lesson by lesson, it's began to open up my eyes new and afresh again to, like, what is the purpose of and the plan of what God has intended for each and every believer, his reach to the nations, his reach to people. It's not just your immediate family. It's not just your next door neighbor, but it's everywhere around you in every part of your life. It's part of what's called an integrated life. The gospel is more than just your family. It's more than just your neighbors. It's more than just your work. It's more than just your city. It's everywhere around you. When you go into a store to buy your groceries, wow, that was an eye-opener. And I'll let Young talk about that.
There's so much, and there's so much, and I know that we're limited with time. Okay.
Well, we are limited, but go, man.
Okay. So. Okay. All right. So here's the deal. So before we go to that,
hold it up just a little tighter.
Okay.
The microphone.
Okay. Can you hear me a little louder? Yeah. Usually people say just quiet down, because I got a really loud voice, so I got to be real careful. So you have to understand what discipleship is a little bit. Okay. So I have to kind of set that precedent. Okay. Discipleship is living life on life. Mm-hmm. Life right. on life.
Right.
Okay? The world system teaches us, and our mind thinks that every time when somebody is leading us or a pastor or a leader, okay, is an up and down effect. Mm-hmm. Okay? Discipleship is not an up and down. The gospel is never up and down. Mm-hmm. The gospel is this way. Mm-hmm. Okay? You start, look to the author and the perfecter of our faith, which mm-hmm. is Jesus. Mm-hmm. The only difference between John and I, the only difference besides that he's Lebanese, I'm Vietnamese in the physical, right? Right? I just made a little journey a little bit farther than him. Just a little bit farther. That's it. I'm not better than him. I'm not greater than him. I'm not wiser than him. I'm not a better Christian than him. In the world system, if we live this way in God's system, it won't work. Because when discipleship does not work is when somebody think that I am better than you or somebody saying that I'm less than you. That will never, never work. If somebody is just a little down the road further than you, they know that dip. That dip, hey, John, watch out for that dip. That dip is going to get every single one of us. Watch out for that dip. So two major pillars, teachability, and humility. Teachability and humility. So don't think you're a great Christian. It's not about that. Because great Christians don't have teachability and humility. Teachability and humility. It would not work if John didn't have teachability and humility. It would not work if I was an arrogant pig. I got something to tell you, John. You better shape up, brother. Accountability is not like, why aren't you doing that? How can I come along and I will never leave you?
Mm. Yeah.
How can I pray for you? How can I love you? Mm-hmm. Because of the up and down effects, you're not good as me. I've been doing this for 40 years, bro. And I am so much more than you. My bad, God.
Yeah. Jung, making this practical for us, because, you know, we've got a number of leaders of small groups. Mm-hmm. We're going to be going through the gospel primer or primer. You know, I think it can be pronounced both ways. Yeah. So we'll go through the gospel primer together in the groups. I think a lot of the people who are leading the groups are saying, well, Jung, you might feel qualified to come and speak into your brother's life, but I'm not sure I really do, you know?
Great question.
I'm not sure that I have that authority or that calling. What do you say to people who are coming together in these groups and they're not exactly sure, like, who's discipling who?
Great question, Pastor Steve. The power of the Holy Spirit. That young man, what's his name? Was it Jacob? Where he at? Did he leave us? He left us. As an awesome young man. Okay, at the young age, he kind of figured it out. It's a spirit in all of us. What qualified and what authorized? Because what Pastor Steve read, it didn't say that you have to be in the church or in the gospel for a long time to do this. Mm-hmm. What authorized and what propel you is the Holy Spirit, teachability and humility. So if you're a leader, watch this. Two questions, what God is saying to me, and what am I going to do about it? What I'm going to do about it is to submit under him and let him empower me to do so. So when I go and I do my primer or premier group, what are you wanting me to live out? And so in the group, we are all being teachable and all of us being humble.
Mm-hmm.
Empowered to speak and to hear same time. Let the gospel be the gospel. the gospel has power and purpose. Let the gospel, the message of the cross, do its work.
Yeah.
So in that, when we are to share, we only share what is given to us, and which is the gift of Jesus Christ. And that's what we share.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean by practical?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
There's a passage that that Caesar Kowalski, however he pronounces his last name, and I'm not sure. But he cites within the context of the gospel primer more than once. It's in Colossians chapter 2, and starting at verse 6, and it says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And then it goes on in verse 9, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ."
Amen. Amen.
So there's this amazing reality that we've been given the very fullness of Christ.
Yes.
And the fullness of Christ dwells in us. And there's an ability, there's a capacity for iron to sharpen iron as we come alongside of each other, yeah, that goes way beyond our own personal abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So John, I'm going to give you the last word. How do you want to challenge us as we're approaching this journey? You know our church, you know who we are, you're one of our deacons. What's your challenge to us?
My challenge is this, is like what Young said. Don't think you know what you know as being the all-end, end-all. Honestly, I have a lot of intellect, and the intellect was up in my brain. It was here. I know a lot of things, and I think a lot of us know a lot of things with our head. But between here and here, whatever it is, 18 inches, it's miles. It's miles. I can have a lot of head knowledge, but I don't have a lot of heart knowledge. And that's what I found out for myself, is I had a lot of head knowledge. And I can do things, and I can make things happen in my own power. But when I see things happen through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's way better. It's miles better. It's not just miles, it's ends of the earth better. Mm-hmm. For me, it was the transformation going from the brain to the heart, and I'm still learning. I mean, I can't say I've attained anything. I really and truly can't. I can't say I've attained anything other than I'm beginning to understand more of what the gospel is about. And it's humbling. But man, is it. I'm living now more an abundant life than I've ever lived my entire life. And that's all happened in a very short span of time.
Wow.
And yeah. I'm saying to myself, mm-hmm, why did I not learn this sooner? Why did I not embrace this sooner? Why didn't I be humble enough to say, God, I need this more than anything in my life. Time is short. Look at the time around you. Look at the news. Look at your life. Look at the situations in your sphere of people of influence and say, can I do this on my own, or do I need God in my life more than ever? Mm-hmm. For me, I looked at my life, and I looked at my family life, and I looked at my work, and I looked at my friendship, all these things, these spheres that you were talking about, mm-hmm, and I was like, there's more to life than what I have currently. And like Young said, God has exploded in my life. He's exploded in my life like never before. And I'm not saying the primer is the key. The key is our hearts being humble enough,
right,
to say, teach me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything. Teach me. And help me apply what you teach me to my life. Don't keep it up here, but let me give it out. Mm-hmm. Let me apply it. Let me, yeah, just apply it to my life, God, so that I can be more like you.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys.
Can I say yep. something real quick? What they have yep. my friend, just real Kay. Quick.
Just ask John the good news. Because he's your member here. He's your leader here. Why don't you ask him in the last 7 months of all the good news I got the chance to hear? Ask him. And who will blow your mind away about the good news that happened to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.